If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking about love languages. That's right, we're talking about the different ways that people communicate their affection and communicate to other people how they feel about them, why they appreciate them, you know, how they appreciate them, and then also how we like to receive those languages, which is a really important part of it. This is something that I've actually been talking about this now with a number of different partners, and Dedeker and I just spent the last like 2 hours talking about this pretty much. So we're excited to talk about this topic. So,
So like, you know, the love languages theory was started by Gary Chapman. Is he a Dr. Gary Chapman? He's just a regular Gary Chapman.
No, he's a doctor. From a seminary school.
Oh, so like
but,
it's like a
but he is
like
a PhD.
God doctor.
He is a PhD.
He's a God doctor, Gary Chapman.
Yeah, God doctor. Okay, got it. Gary Chapman.
Okay, yeah. So God doctor Gary Chapman, all the way back in 1995.
This is the best title ever. I want to go back to school so I can be called
become a God doctor.
God doctor.
Anyway, as I was saying, God Dr. Gary Chapman, yep, in 1995 released this book called The Five Love Languages, mm-hmm, and took off like freaking wildfire.
Yep.
Sold like hotcakes in a wildfire.
Okay. All right. We'll go with it.
Yeah. No, super, super popular. I mean, I think to this day it still gets on like the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah, totally.
It's still, you know, going strong.
And there's a bunch of spin-off books that he's written, too.
Yes, as a result of his popularity, like God Dr. Gary Chapman has built an entire empire. Like, there's the five love languages, like, for your teenage kids. There's the five love languages for the single person. He's gone on to create theories about, actually, languages of apology and languages of appreciation. The languages of apology one is actually quite interesting. It's kind of like different ways that people can accept apologies and like what's more meaningful to them. Is it more meaningful to be like, hey, I'm sorry, and in the future I'll be better? Or to say, hey, I'm sorry, I acknowledge that this is the thing that I did and I'm sorry for that? Or is it better to say like, hey, I'm sorry, and I'm going to do this thing to make it up to you? So, like, kind of all these subtle differences in ways that people receive apologies that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the background is that, you know, this comes from an evangelical pastor. Mm-hmm. And so the book is not necessarily accessible to everybody for those reasons. However,
And there's even some stuff that he says in some anecdotes or in interviews that we just blatantly are like, that's kind of terrible to say. So like, we're, you know, this is sort of our disclaimer here that,
yeah,
there's also,
yeah, so
I think you were about to say that there's no research backing this up at all, right?
Yeah, there's no research backing it up. But I mean, a lot of people have, obviously the book is super, super popular. A lot of people do attest to the fact that like thinking about their communication in this way has really opened up their eyes and has really like affected their relationships. And I would count myself as one of those people.
Yeah, I would too.
You know? Yeah. That like in learning about the theory of different love languages, like it really has kind of unlocked different ways to think about my relationships and different strategies to try for creating intimacy and for getting through to my partners. It's not necessarily like the only theory or the only strategy that I will employ when I'm trying to communicate love or affection to my partners. However, it has been one that I do think about a lot and that I think actually is quite useful for people to know about.
Yeah, definitely. So with those disclaimers out of the way, let's talk a little bit about why this is something that is useful. Like, how has this affected our lives in terms of how we communicate with our partners?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that as far as it applies to being in polyamorous relationships, I know in polyamorous relationships, you tend to spend a lot of time, being very reassuring, you know? I mean, obviously, it depends on kind of the security of the people in a particular relationship, but, like, mm-hmm. if your partner's feeling insecure, like, the best strategy for that is offering, like, reassurance and offering mm-hmm. love and offering affection, you know? And I found that knowing a person's love language, like, knowing your partner's love language and being able to offer them reassurance in their language goes so much, so much further.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like... Yeah. Like, for instance, for one partner, like, if their love language, which we'll get into later in the episode, breaking mm-hmm. down each one, if they respond to words of affirmation, if they respond to kind of verbal reassurance, that goes very far for me to just kind of verbally reassure them, like, no, like, you're special and I love you and, like, this is what I appreciate about you, mm-hmm. versus with another partner, that may not go as far, or they may not just feel that, or it may not yeah. be as meaningful to them.
And at risk of sounding a little bit too, you know, utilitarian or a little too, like, life hackery, also, like, something that comes up a lot in polyamory is this idea that, you know, love is infinite, but time is finite, that you only have so much time. And so with this, too, it's if you know, not only for yourself, but also for your partners, what are the things that we can do together that are most going to have them feel loved, like most have mm-hmm. them value that time that we have together, since it's not infinite. And maybe I am splitting that between other partners. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they are with me, like, how can I get the most sort of that affection that I want? By knowing their love language and them knowing yours can help you to kind of mm-hmm. maximize that and really mm-hmm. get all those good feelings that you want to get from the time that you do have together.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, with that, I mean, let's hop into it.
Yeah.
I mean, so, God Dr. Gary Chapman, which he's always what he is now.
I have a question. Is there any school I could go to become Poly Dr. Jace Lindgren? Like, God Dr. Gary Chapman?
You want to be Poly Dr.?
Well,
like,
I don't
to get
know.
An official title?
Well, to get a PhD from someplace that... You would
have
call
to go
me poly
to some
doctor.
Kind of, like, sex education credentialing school, you know? And then I think that you could get away with...
Okay, wait.
Because people get called, like, sex doctor so-and-so, like Dr. Ruth.
That's true.
I think you'd have to do that, and then you could pull That's off true. Being poly doctor Jace Lindgren.
What if we started a religion out of multi-amory and then created a seminary school, and then I could get a PhD from there?
I see zero flaws in this plan.
Okay, great.
Let's execute. Perfect.
Done.
Okay.
All right. Moving Done. On. So there are five love languages, as identified by God Dr. Gary Chapman. quick overview. Those five are acts of service, words of affirmation, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. So we're going to go through these one at a time. And then at the end, we're going to talk about some ways that this uniquely applies to polyamory, which I like to think that God Dr. Gary Chapman would be really stoked that we're applying this to polyamory. That's great.
Or just really scandalized and think that we're destroying his beautiful
I'm pretty
his
sure
beautiful
that his
brainchild.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that as a pastor at the Calvary Baptist Church in North Carolina, he would be stoked about how much love we are helping to share his languages with. Yes. all right, great. So let's start with the first one is acts of service.
Okay, acts of service. Honestly, I hate that it's called acts of service because that just makes me think of like volunteering at a soup kitchen. Not that I hate the idea of volunteering at a soup kitchen, but it just, I don't know, the image is like not very sexy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think in practice, it's much more sexy.
Well, sure. Yeah. So, like, for whatever reason, the big one that comes to mind for me for this is my stepdad, actually, is someone who, once I, like, learned about love languages and took the little online quiz and was thinking about it, I was like, oh, shit, like that's his for sure. And it was an interesting one because that's not a high one for me or for my mom. And so that was, you know, sort of an issue of conflict that, like, he would do this thing that, like, didn't mean as much to us, but to him was, like, his way of showing love. And so that one kind of really resonated with me in terms of, like, how important understanding this kind of stuff is.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, obviously, it's, you know, seems pretty self-explanatory. You know, acts of service includes things like just doing things for your other partner. It could be going to run errands for them. Or, I mean, like, what other examples? Like,
well, a lot of the examples are like doing something for you when you're busy. It's like you're busy and stressed at work, so they like clean the house for you, or they prepare dinner, or they like or you're sick and they like run out and get you things, you know, when you're sick, or something like that. It's kind of like helping you out when you're sort of not able to do it yourself. Or I suppose maybe you just don't know how to do it yourself. Like maybe they fix your car if you don't know how to do that, or they help you with your taxes, or like something like that like they might have a knowledge that you don't or a skill that you don't, that act of service is is an important way of you, like that makes you feel really important to someone if they're willing to put that time and effort into doing something for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I found, I mean, like, we were just talking about this a lot, that recently, because I've been spending more time with a particular partner of mine whose love language is really heavily, very strongly, intensely acts of service, that it's really made me adjust to receiving that a lot more and finding a lot more meaning in that. At the same time, but I think that is also a more recent thing, like, because what comes to mind is, like, when I was finishing up the book manuscript, and Jason and I were spending a lot of time together during that process, like, anytime he did something, like, whether it was, like, okay, like, I'll research this for you, or even if it's, like, okay, well, I'll go get coffee for you, it was just, like, oh my god, like, such a relief, like, meant so, so much to me, kind of just based on the circumstances of that, of being super busy and super stressed and really preoccupied. That it kind of, that it kind of shook up necessarily what my love language was at that particular moment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that segues nicely into my number one love language, which is words of affirmation. So just hearing you talk about how much you appreciated that, I'm feeling all tickled and good now, and glad that I was able to help with your glossary and bibliography and links and all those things. Right. So words of affirmation, you know, this one is also pretty self-explanatory. I mean, really, all of these are pretty self-explanatory. But, you know, it's that. It's really conveying to someone what you appreciate about them. And one thing that's important to note about this, just in general, about expressing appreciation for people, is being specific. Like, in that example, Dedeker was talking about something very specific that I did. Or, like, if I receive a compliment from a partner, that's a very specific compliment. It's like, I really like, you know, the way that you, I don't know, like, phrase things in a way that's, like, very well thought out, even as you're just figuring something out when we're talking about something serious, and that makes me feel really safe to talk to you. Or, like, it, you know, super specific.
Sounds like the longest compliment I've ever heard in my life.
That's hardly the longest compliment you've ever heard in your life.
It's up there.
You've been dating me for 3 years. I'm sure you've heard longer, more complicated compliments. Right. But so it's that. It's like being very specific and being very unique to that person, that it's not just sort of a general, like, I love you, or just a general, you know, even though those are great too. But it's kind of being, you know, being really specific, but doing it verbally, whether it's written
and it could be
or
things. It could
out
be
loud.
Yeah, it could be compliments, you know, it could be compliments on their appearance, or maybe something encouraging if they're struggling, or, you know, being verbally supportive if they're kind of having a rough time, or expressing that, you know, you're proud of your partner for accomplishing something. Just that, lots of all verbally based positive things.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMail.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I, at AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code M-U-L-T-I.
Time to hop back in?
Yes. Bring us back.
Okay, so the third one that we'll get to is receiving gifts. And now for Jason, this is, for both of us, it's the lowest one that mm-hmm. we respond to. Emily, though, is definitely a receiving gifts.
Yes.
Fluent language person.
Like,
she's
I'd
into
say that's,
that.
That's her,
she's into
that's
that.
Her native language.
Both giving and receiving gifts. Like, not like, I mean, I'm not saying Emily's just like a freeloader.
Right. No, she's one of the best gift givers I've ever known.
She's also, yeah, like, one of the best gift givers
in terms
ever,
of
seriously.
Getting big, like, significant gifts for people, but also, like, really well thought out gifts that are
yes,
really.
Very, like, a lot of thought goes into her gift giving.
Yes. And this is something that, like, Dedeker was talking about with, you know, being with a partner who acts of service is a big thing for him. That's kind of made her value that higher. You know, in the time that I've known Emily and when I was with her, like, I really learned to appreciate both giving and receiving gifts in a way that is not as normal for me. Because I came to understand, partly through the love languages, that is something really important to her. And so when I would receive a gift from her, it wouldn't be my normal reaction of receiving a gift, but it, like, had an extra meaning. Because I knew that was her primary love language.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dedeker, you were bringing up the interesting point of a gift doesn't have to be a physical thing.
Yeah, well, that was my question, is because, like, I know that for myself, I think I respond to gifts that are experiential more so than tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of someone buying me, like, hey, here's tickets to a concert, versus, hey, here's, like, a PS4. I mean, like, both of those things are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I totally agree. Both of those things are awesome. But for some reason, like, I feel a little more inner excitement about the, like, hey, I bought you tickets to a concert versus, hey, I bought you a PS4.
Right. That is about an experience.
Yeah.
Or you were saying, like, so even, like, a nice dinner or a spa.
Yeah, even
day
something,
or something
that's like, hey, like, I'm going to take you out to just a fancy dinner. Or, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy you, like, as a bottle of wine is tangible.
Is it though? But it's not something you keep. It's not the same as, like,
yeah, exactly.
I bought you a painting that you're gonna keep. It's like a thing you consume and you experience it and then it's done. But yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So receiving gifts is that, mm-hmm. and it's kind of about, like, that thought you put into the gifts is part of the expression of love. And that's mm-hmm. an important thing to understand for people who, you know, receiving gifts is a big thing for them.
And part of it is also, again, with the gifts thing, I think the emphasis is that it doesn't have to be big gifts like a PS4 or concert tickets or whatever, that it can also be just, like, teeny tiny gifts that someone picks up for you in the course of their normal day.
Sure, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just like hey, I was thinking of you and got you this thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, right. What's the next one?
Okay, the next one is quality time. So quality time is also one that scored pretty highly for Dedeker and myself. And so this one, I think, is actually the one that needs the most explanation of the five. to really clarify what quality time is. And this is actually something that we've talked about before on this podcast, because it does relate to this idea of, you know, one of the fears people have when opening up a relationship is that they're going to have less time with their partner. Or, you know, maybe you have a partner who's upset about feeling like they're getting less of you now. And part of that can be helped, at least with spending that time as quality time. And what that means is that it's time that's really dedicated to being together or doing something together. That it's not just, hey, we're both working and we're in the same place. Or it's not just like, hey, let's hang out and like you'll read a book and I'm going to play video games or something like that. Like,
I
love that kind of time, but that's
still, I mean, according to God, Dr. Gary Chapman, that can still fall under quality time. Like that people can really respond to this idea of like, I just like being around the person that I love, even if we're not like doing something specific together, even if we're not like going out to the movies or going out to dinner. But I think like that differentiates from like, hey, we're going to spend time together, but like we're going to do housework together.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you're right. I should clarify. So yeah, like watching a TV show or a movie or playing games together or something like that is quality time, but not if it's like, hey, I'm going to, you know, work on our taxes for this year while we hang out, or like, hey, let's hang out during my lunch break, but I'm going to be working during it or something like that. Yeah. Right. So yeah, it's kind of about, it's about sort of setting that time aside to be with your partner, regardless of what it is that you're doing. Yeah. Or like for myself and Dedeker in a long distance relationship, it's about setting aside a time, you know, setting time aside to be on Skype or, you know, to actually talk with each other.
To be on Skype when we're not trying when to we're not podcasting a podcast. Because that's the thing is like we actually spend like a decent amount of time together, but it's trying to find the time that is like when we're both just like relaxed and don't want to talk about like business stuff or stuff from Multiamory or talk about like super super serious stuff, like when we can just like be silly and relaxed and maybe hang like, out, watch a movie or
like watch YouTube clips together or something. Definitely.
But that's something that like we've had to be very conscientious about. To make sure that time gets structured in and doesn't get lost in the like, well, whatever, like I'll talk to you tomorrow when we're recording the podcast.
Right. Exactly.
Recognizing that it's different.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that's also just as a side note is important for when people live together. Like that's
definitely,
you know, for us, like working together essentially is one trap. And I think living together is another one where it's like, well, I'm going to see you tonight when I get home. Rather than like, hey, let's actually make time to be together, regardless of what it is we're doing.
Yeah.
All right. So the last one of the five is physical touch. This one is also very high for me. And it's any kind of, it's hand holding, it's cuddling, it's a hug or a kiss,
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to include any kind of sexual touch.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just that, like, this is one that I notice for myself, kind of even more with certain friends, that it's like if a friend will like put their arm around me or like I don't know, it sounds so weird, but
pat your bottom,
pat me on the back or something, or just sort of like make a physical contact of some sort, even just in that kind of playful way, it like makes me feel like, oh, that's awesome. Like I feel really like cared about, like that friend really feels feelings for me. Anyway, yeah, it's something I've noticed. I've noticed it actually lately, especially at work with like some of my work friends. Cause you know, work isn't a place where you're going to be like cuddling and holding hands and whatever. But like if someone does, they're sort of standing next to me and like, you know, touches me like with their arm a little bit. And it's just like, hey, like, how's it going? How you feeling? Or like, you know, puts their arm around me just for a second to give a little side hug or something. Like I find I'm like, oh, that's really awesome. Like it makes me feel very appreciated. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So something that God, Dr. Gary Chapman does emphasize with physical touch.
Sorry. It makes me laugh every time you say his name. I love it.
I can't go back now.
Yeah. Okay. Go on.
So what God Dr. Gary Chapman does emphasize with the physical touch is that it's also feeling free and feeling comfortable to give and receive physical touch with your partner when you're in public and when you're around other people. That's actually another part of this, that it's not like, oh, you're just affectionate with me when we're like in bed or when we're at home and it's just the two of us, but also like when we're out with our friends or with each other's families, that we do feel comfortable touching each other.
Yeah.
And Jace, we experienced something very different in different cultures, particularly when we were in Japan.
Yeah. I just wanted to tell a little story because, yeah, physical affection is not something you do in Japan. No married couples do it. No one does it.
You and I would be on the subway together and like even like holding your hand, like putting my arm around your waist, I could feel people staring.
It felt like really we were like making out and feeling each other up on the train.
Yeah.
The story was I was listening to a dialogue in my Japanese lessons about a guy who got married, and his friend is asking him like, oh, how was the wedding, you know, what was that like? And the comment the guy gives is like, oh man, it was really like weird and uncomfortable and embarrassing to have to kiss in public at their wedding. I was just like, that's
weird.
Yeah, that sums up my impression of kind of how Japan approaches physical affection. They're like, at your
that's
wedding,
so funny,
like that's the uncomfortable part is having to kiss
Japan,
in public.
The only time that I've ever seen people be affectionate to each other is A, if they're teenagers.
Yep.
Like if they're teenagers and like the only place they have is to like make out on the train.
Right.
Maybe, but even then not even making out.
No,
just,
it
like,
wouldn't even
like,
be
cuddling.
On the train. It would be like maybe like on a sort of a side street, maybe.
Yeah.
More likely
than
a train. Yeah.
Yeah. The only other time I've ever seen it is again on like a side street when people are drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if they're drunk, it's not even like
super
intense making out, just like kind of playful cuddling or play fighting or whatever. Yeah.
Like when we went out on Christmas Eve, that was like one of the only times I saw a bunch of people holding hands because it was all these kind of young couples out on their dates. So I was like, wow.
On their Christmas Eve dates, which is also a Japanese
thing. That's a Japanese thing, yeah. Anyway, so they do vary by culture, but yes, this is, God Dr. Gary Chapman is writing this more from a, you know, kind of Western American sort of approach. Cool. All right. So now we're going to bring it on back around to the polyamory.
Bring it on back around. Yeah. So this is the thing is like, if you do have multiple partners, obviously it's so important to learn how to juggle multiple love languages.
Mm-hmm.
You need to become a love language polyglot.
Yeah. You've been waiting this whole half hour
it's so perfect. It's so perfect.
Yes.
And it's true. Like, you really do. You really do. You know, like, when you're in a monogamous relationship, even though an individual will respond to multiple love languages, that is true. However, you know, when you have one partner, you have a lot of time and dedication in order to figure out, like, okay, I know this is this person's love language, and so I can really perfect my ability to speak to that person in their love language.
Right.
When you have multiple partners, like, you got to get good at multiple love languages very fast. You have to learn to be really flexible.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even if, like, you're not even aware of it, you will find yourself adjusting. You know, as we've shared with you, that, you know, like, when Jace was in a relationship with Emily, that, like, that adjusted for him, even though he didn't normally respond to receiving gifts. Like, when he realized that that was her love language, it changed how he felt about it. You know, like, my feelings with my partner recently have changed because of the fact of, like, how much more acts of service is a more present love language. You know, like, you will find yourself kind of fitting into the mold of these different relationships, which I think is actually a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the goal would be that it would allow you to find ways to, you know, appreciate all the different love languages more, so that not only do you get better at giving them, but you also get better at receiving them. And understanding that maybe if someone's giving you a lot of gifts and that's not a major love language for you, and you might feel like, well, I don't know if this person really cares about me because they don't, you know, whatever, spend as much quality time or give as much physical touch in public as I would normally want. Kind of realizing, oh, but these gifts they give me or these little acts of service they do, like that is big for them. And so kind of understanding how to interpret the love languages as well as give them.
And it's really important also to figure out what your own love languages are. And in our write-up, we'll include a link. There's like a really handy little quiz on God, Dr. Gary Chapman's site.
It takes less than 10 minutes.
Because it can be important for you to learn, how do I communicate to my partner what my love language is?
Yeah.
And so that might be something where it's like, okay, well, I know that words of affirmation, like I respond really well to, I know that's my love language. And so when my partner does give me words of affirmation, I know to like really encourage that, to really be like, you know what? Like when you said that, that really made me feel good.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, being able to, and like being able to kind of respond with your reactions appropriately versus just coming to your partner and being like, hey, by the way, like words of affirmation, do it.
I think that the beauty of there being a short little quiz for this too is that it's sort of a fun conversation thing too. Like the thing that brought this up for me was just within the last couple weeks, my partner Mochi, you know, was like, "Hey, do you know what your love language is?" I was like, "Oh, you know, it's been a couple years since I took that quiz. Like, let me take it again." So I just took that real quick, and then we talked about it and compared our results. And then I ended up talking about it that same day with another partner, being like, "Oh, hey, Mochi just asked me about my love language. Do you know what yours is? Like, this is mine." And it led to a conversation there. And then a few days later, I went on a third date. And during the date, part of the conversation I brought up was just like, "Oh, hey, I've been talking with a couple other partners about love languages. Do you know what yours are?" And she didn't really know much about it. So I kind of got to explain about love languages. And she's like, "Huh, like, I think mine might be this. But yeah, I want to go take that quiz." It's just kind of a fun thing to do that's not like a thing you do by yourself, just sort of meditative, but it's a good thing to talk to your partner about, because, you know, then you'll understand what theirs are and they'll understand what yours are, and you'll kind of both be on the same page about wanting to engage more with each other's love languages.
Yeah, so we, like I said, we'll include the link. I'd recommend you go check out the quiz. You can check out God, Dr. Gary Chapman's book if you're comfortable being exposed to like very evangelical monogamous advice on relationships. You know, not to completely discredit it,
and
but just so you know,
heteronormative,
that will be there,
gender binary,
in the book. Yeah,
all
that'll
sorts
be
of
very,
that stuff. Yeah,
very present in the book.
Very present.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Or you can just listen to our episode again. Just put it on repeat. And
yeah, perfect.
Clearly that's all the knowledge you could get. Or join us in next month's discussion group by joining us on Patreon, becoming one of our patrons there, and then bring it up in the next discussion group, and we can all talk more about love languages, or in the private Facebook group that's for patrons only. Lots of fun things to do there. All right, thank you so much. We appreciate you in all five of these ways.
Yeah, if we could touch you, we would.
Yeah,
we want to give you this gift / act of service of us recording
of
the podcast for you.
Yes.
We're so glad that you've chosen to take this quality time to hang out with us and listen to us.
Yes.
Like, we feel really appreciated, and we hope that we're able to extend that appreciation and love to you guys as well.
Yes, definitely. And you can send us words of affirmation to our email at info@multiamory.com, on Twitter @multiamory, or on Facebook, Multiamory. We look forward to hearing from you. All right. Thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Sayonara.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.